So the Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And that can be found on page 832 of your pew Bibles. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please do take your seats. Ian's going to come and preach for us, and while Ian's speaking, I'm going to be at that table over there doing something to keep my hands busy if anyone else wants to come and join me.
What a year. Would you believe... Sorry, I'm Ian, by the way, and I introduce myself. I'm one of the lay readers because this is the first time I've preached all year. Been slightly distracted with work. And that could cut two ways. One is that I might have a year's worth of sermons now for pouring forth. Judy's nodding. I think she wants that. Or it could be that I've actually forgotten what I'm doing, and it might take 2 minutes. Yeah, well, I was going to say, I've had two ladies talk to me about this, and I've promised both of them that I shall be short. One is my wife, my beautiful wife, and the other I can't name, but she's married to Steve Colley. We have before us this morning in this passage from Luke the nativity scene, and I was wondering what your favourite animal or creature you've seen or at a nativity scene is. I wonder whether anybody's got a favourite creature from a nativity scene. A donkey. We've got a donkey. Clive?
Third octopus.
Third octopus. All of them. Any more?
About, in Mr. Bean, it's got a dinosaur.
Dinosaur! Yeah, I'm liking this. I'm liking this. Any more? Great, we've got a dinosaur, a third octopus. What else have we had? A donkey? And all of them, sorry, yes. I mean, my favourite is actually the lobster, and I think me and Clive are talking the same thing. If you watch the film Love Actually, there's a first lobster, which means there must be a second. There's definitely an octopus. There's a dinosaur in Mr. Bean. I've heard of nativities where, you know, Raymond Briggs' snowman has visited. The nativity scene has become something that perhaps has been embellished. Is it that it's too boring just by itself? Because when we read in here, there's not one animal mentioned at all. Yes, it's in a stable. But over time, we seem to have added things in at times to make it really interesting. Perhaps we haven't stripped it back down to look at it again. What was it really, really like? Have we played fast and loose with reality? Put it another way. Has anybody got one of these scented candles that they light at Christmas? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Nodding. Felicity, you were nodding. Would you tell us what smell that is?
Pine trees.
Pine trees. Okay. Good. Anybody else got a scented candle for Christmas?
Vanilla?
Spiced white cocoa. Any more?
Cinnamon.
These are all good Christmassy sort of smells, aren't they? I was looking up the top five or six, actually, to find out what they were. And there's things like Christmas magic, evergreen mist, which I think is along the pine, holiday hearth by the fireside, Christmas Eve cocoa, Christmas cookie, and Merry Berry. These are the scents of Christmas. Not Mary Berry. That would be a bit weird. Merry Berry. Thank you. But just looking at Christmas magic, we have a sweet and spicy fragrance. Classic Christmas scents, balsam and pine, take a sophisticated turn with hints of birch and eucalyptus. That is a wonderful Christmas smell. Trouble is, I don't particularly find that at the nativity scene. For here we are in a stable, or the place where animals kept, the ground floor of a house where the animals were kept. It would have been not particularly clean. It would have been possibly, you know, straw and hay for the animals, but doesn't mean it was that fresh. There would have been, well, pretty unpleasant smells to us. I don't see, and I'll be looking hard, and there might be a little market for somebody in this, but I don't see a candle called cowpat or donkey dropping. But that was the reality. When we look at the nativity scene, we perhaps get a cosy picture, a picture we want to put things upon, like octopuses and lobsters. We want to think that perhaps it may have smelt nice. It may have been warm, except you don't light a fire in a stable. And today in Bethlehem, it's about 5 or 6 degrees. This is a cold, dark, smelly place. That is the reality. But when we think about the reality, what does Luke major upon? And he focuses in on something very, very specific. See, Luke is a physician, a doctor of the time. He's very sort of scientific thinking. He doesn't repeat himself unnecessarily. He gets to the point, he tells the story. It's very to the fact, to the point. So why and what does he repeat? What does he repeat? What is so important that he repeats? Well, Mary laid him in a... The angels said to the shepherds they would find him in a... And when the shepherds arrived, they saw him in... Once would have been enough. We got the picture. Once is enough. But Luke emphasizes that he was laid in a manger. And what is a manger? Well, it's probably a stone trough. It may have been wood, but probably a stone trough where the animals fed. It would have had bits of old food. It would have had, well, let's face it, animals' mouths are pretty dirty, as are ours, to tell you the truth. They're full of bacteria. So you've got a pit of animal slobber. Sorry, but that's what it is. Dirty old food with a bit of hay and stuff on top. Cold stone, probably. It was not glamorous, but it was the central symbol of the nativity that Luke wanted us to see. This is where Jesus was laid. So what? He came in a dirty stable in a slobbering pit. No Detox to clean it out, by the way, guys. And you should try and clean these things carefully. No anti-bac, no hand gel. So what? Well, you see, if the cross is the symbol of Jesus' death so that we are forgiven, and if the empty tomb is a symbol that Jesus was raised to life so that we could also live, if the cross, let's put it in Christmas terms, if the cross is the gift of forgiveness and the empty tomb is the gift of eternal life, then the manger, the low-down pit, means it's for everyone. Those gifts are for everyone. There's no one too low. There's no one too dirty. There's no one too cold. He was laid in a manger. The wise men came to seek him in the palace. But we see his life was never meant to be amongst the rich and the famous. But it was down on the streets with the normal people and down in the gutter with the prostitutes. The dirty, slobbery gutter, not far off from where he was originally laid. And doesn't come in ignorance of what we are like. He would have felt the cold, and it sort of shows us the life he was going to live. He was going to live fully knowing what it was like to be human. To be cold, to be weary, to be hungry, to be weak. But also to be let down by the people that were closest to him as they abandoned him. To feel the pain of isolation. To weep at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. He was not in the palace. He was not in ignorance. And he didn't come to the healthy. He came to the dirty, to the lepers, to those with mental illness, to those that people did not want to touch and know. And that's the symbol of the manger. That is the profound and deep nature of what it means. So often we gloss it over. We're happy with the cross. We love the empty tomb. But the manger itself means that he came at the very base. No one is beneath his care. No one here is beneath his care or love. The past 2 years have been difficult. Each one of us will have experienced that in a different way. The pain of loss, the discomfort of illness, the financial problems. You put in it whatever it has meant to you. separation from family. But whatever you've been through, whatever has happened over these past 2 years, whatever the depths or the joys, there is nothing you've experienced that Jesus can't be with you in. Nothing that he cannot understand. Nothing that he cannot comprehend and be with you in. Because he came not where the wise men tried to find him, but he came and was laid in a manger. The manger, the cross, and the empty tomb, that's all we need to know. So I wish you a very merry but smelly Christmas. Amen.
Ian, thank you so much. Zach and I have been building the manger scene out of pipe cleaners down here. So we've got some very smelly creatures in here as well. For those of you who don't know Ian, most of you will do, but Dr. Ian is one of our local GPs who is responsible for the vaccine programme in our area. So that's why he's been very busy at work this year. Ian, a huge thanks for all that you do. Were you behind the pillow? Bit of a dance. Yeah, it is. To me, to you. A huge thanks, Ian, for all that you do and continue to do and your team. Maggie's going to come and lead us.